So if you've joined us for the first time, this is the week number 2 of our series about the one. Did you give Mr. Andrew that thing? So last week we spoke about the 99, that Jesus left the 99 sheep to go for the one. Now the reason he did that and he explained that to the Pharisees is because they were complaining to say, look at him, he's messing around with sinners and he's eating with them too. And so Jesus is trying to say, guys, you need to understand that I came for people that are lost, people that need to be saved. He was getting them to understand that because they didn't. They just thought that there must be something wrong with this guy because they wanted to have an exclusive type relationship where they would just put all these burdens on people to follow. And God was that, I'm not about religion, I'm about relationship. And really, about the one is about us as a church recognizing that the one person that doesn't know the Lord Jesus is important. It's about us being intentional in reaching people and getting them into God's family. It's about getting outside our comfort zone and trusting the Holy Spirit so that we can reach out to other people. And it's about winning souls for Christ. At the end of the day, this is not a social club. This is an active club where people are coming and are being added to the fellowship each and every week, day, so that people can have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about looking at a harvest and saying, there is a plentiful harvest out there. And these are the Jesus' own words. And he's saying, because the harvest is surely plentiful, and he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers. And of course, it's easy to pray, Lord, can you send, you know, why don't you send Andrew? Maybe send Donovan. Just send Janine. But no, we're saying, yes, send workers, but send me. Not just other people. We're not just going to pray and say, oh, send other people. Say, Lord, send me. And it's an urgency for souls like never before. Because when your eyes close to this world here, they don't just close and that's it. They open up to another world. And we know that eternity is a very long time. So we are going to do everything within our power to get other people to know the Lord like we do. We're not going to be selfish and say, whoop, now that I'm on the train, it's tough luck for everybody else. Transperth has got lots of room, 6 cars, if you're going from Queen Anne to Perth City. 6 whole cars. And sometimes it's empty, and sometimes it's very full. And I know that sometimes when it's full, it can be a bit annoying, because there's no seat, and you might have to stand. But we would rather that than an empty cart that is going. We would rather it be full. And because the reason why we are glad that something is full is not because it makes us feel good, but it's because of the changed lives. Lives that are changed. There are countless stories that we've heard of people's. We had Debbie speak to us, I think it was not last year, the year before, 2021, just about her story, about where God took her from. We had Ms. Janine and Mr. Donovan tell us the same thing about where God has taken them from. And this is what God does. He comes and he fixes up our lives, things that are not working in our lives, attitudes that are detrimental to us moving forward. He comes in and he fixes those things. This is why it's important when people come to know Jesus, there is an encounter that they have as he works in them to change their lives, to change their families' lives and their destinies, and also to change the lives of the people around them. If a household, the father is saved, on most occasions, it shifts everything that happens in that house. If the father is saved and he's coming to church, and then when he's in church, you know, if the father just comes to church and does this, on most occasions, the children are just also going to do this. But if he comes to church and he's there and maybe he's crying because the Lord touched him, guess what? The kids, oh, if he can do it, so can I. This is what happens, because remember that the father is the strong man in the house. You get the father, you get the family. This is why it's important when people come, these empty chairs that you see, these represent somebody's life that can be transformed by the power of Jesus. Breaking things, people off, breaking, you know, like the Lord is a spell breaker. The Lord is a spell breaker, where he will come and change the course of your destiny. This may happen. There might be a cycle in your family that nobody can get married in your family. Nobody gets married. You wonder what's going on. That's a cycle. There's something there up until God comes in and breaks something. And all of a sudden you find people getting married. There's so many things, cycles. If you see a certain cycle occurring in your life, understand there is something there that God needs to come in and break. I had, and I spoke about it last week, that all the males in my family had multiple women. Multiple means more than one. But, and I recall a conversation I was having with some, you know, kids, friends who were growing up with, and they said, you are just going to be like your fathers, which is a person with multiple children, children from, you know, multiple relationships. And I remember when they said that, that really hurt me. That really hurt me. And I remember in that moment, now they don't know that I did that, but in that moment I swore to myself and I say, that's not going to be me. And so when God comes into our lives, he changes our destinies. And so as we sing that song, that and your children and your children's children, God comes to alter things in our lives. We heard from Damien and Jean that they were thinking of going the IVF way, and God intervened. God is interested in our lives. God is interested in your life. No matter how small you may think your issue is, God is what? Wants to intervene. And so we involve him in the things that are happening in our lives. This is what happens when people come to the Lord, that God is interested in what's taking place in their lives. He will come in, no matter how weird you may think it is, he will come and work with you at his own pace. Not at your pace. And sometimes we come and we put burdens on people. You need to do this now. But guess what? God has his timing. As long as we are willing and we open ourselves up and say, Lord, I am willing. Do some work in me. Show me if there's any way offensive that is within me. And come and do your thing. But it has to be at his timing. When you are ready to be able to confront whatever issues you're dealing with, so that God can move you along. So you can have the best life that you can have. Amen. It's about us having an urgency for souls, for people to come to know the Lord. It's about us, about the one, is about us caring for our families to be saved and their lives to be transformed, changed lives. It's about us crying out to the Lord for revival in your life and saying, God, this is the year that you're going to do something in my life. And as he works in your life, then he's going to work through you. Because God just doesn't work through you first. He first works in you, does some work, and then he works through you. And it's about us reaching beyond the walls of our church for other people that don't know the Lord is. For those people that God has placed in your world. Because all of us have got, are influential people. There are people that are in our circle of friends. God just hasn't placed those people for fun. God has placed you in this world for influence. And the reason why he chose the nation of Israel was so that when other nations saw how they were living their lives, they would be influenced to do what? To live the same way that they were, to follow the same God. And that's what God wants with us. He takes a small group of people and he says, you are going to influence a country of 1 million people. That's what we are as Christians. Amen? So probably 10 years ago, there was an ad by Tourism Australia. So these are the people that are responsible for tourism. They work with everybody, hotels. They work with people that have all these resorts. And they, you know, if you work in a tourism business, people are what make you make more money. So Tourism Australia was concerned that we were not getting many visitors coming over to the country and spending their money. So they decided to come up with an ad. And the ad was somebody went to a beach. It was a lady went to the beach, and she said these exact words. These are not my words. These are Tourism Australia's words. They're talking to the whole world, and they're saying, "Where the bloody hell are you?" They're asking people, "Where are you? We expect you to come." For us, as true people of God, we do not follow what Tourism Australia says. We don't go out to the community and say, "Where the bloody hell are you?" We follow the instructions of the Lord Jesus. And his instructions are, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Now, we do not want to complicate, you know, that "go." Of all nations, it means go to the places that you have been placed in. That means go to the grocery store, make disciples of people in the grocery store. Go to your work, make disciples of people in your work. On the train, make disciples of people in the train. This is what that mandate has been. We're not just to stand outside and say to everybody, "Come." No, we are to go wherever they are and make disciples of them wherever they are. That is the mandate that we've been given. Not just to wait and open our doors and hope and pray that people come, but it's to go. That means I'm to take the good news that I've been given wherever I go. Wherever my influence takes me, that's where I take the word of God. Amen? In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 to 9, it says, "These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you." Now, this is Moses saying this, not Stephen Magwenzi. So it says, "You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. They're about to go into the promised land." And so this is Moses saying, "And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey." Now he's talking to you and to me and to our families. "Then all will go well with you, and you'll have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you." There are things that are promised to you and to your family. But God is saying there are certain conditions that you've got to meet in order for you to be able to access those things. He says, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength." And it says, "And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates." And then later on in the book of Matthew, we have Jesus repeating this thing that Moses said. In Matthew 22, verse 34 to 40, it says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply," now this is Jesus, "they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." Others say strength. And then he goes on to say that this is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. "Love your neighbor as yourself." The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Now that word "must" is not maybe. Maybe you should love the Lord your God with all. It's must, which is telling you, you are obliged to follow this. It is something that you should do. It's something that should not be overlooked or missed. So when you use the word must in a sentence, you use the word must to indicate that you think it's very important or necessary for something to happen. Jesus died for us, and he lived for us, and he truly loves us. And so how, in return, do we show our love for him and for our Heavenly Father who sent his Son to die for us? How do we show the Lord our love? He asks each of us, he asks you and I to live for him. This commandment to love the Lord with everything that you have is impossible to obey. It's very hard to fulfill this commandment. So when this law was given, people would always hit up against it because it was something that was very difficult to do. On most occasions, it's very hard for you to perhaps love your kids all the time. I mean, I guess, or to love your family members all the time. Sometimes you feel, yeah, I love them. Today I love them. Tomorrow, not so much. So it's very hard for us to fulfill this commandment. This is why Jesus would constantly be reminding the Pharisees of their inability to keep the law of God. This showed them that you are spiritually bankrupt and that you need a savior. This is what this is telling us. So to love God with all our hearts means we use our time, we use our energy, our talents, and our resources. Now, with our time, we have to learn what God's commandments are so we can keep them. If you are driving, like I was, there's a time I've been caught speeding. I was going very fast, 137 kilometers an hour. But I was traveling a very long distance. I was driving from Port Hedland to Perth. That's 1,600 Ks. And I was trying to do it in one day. So, you know, I had to move. Otherwise, it would have taken me 2 days. Anyway, we get flagged by the police. In fact, they didn't flag us. All I could see was the lights just shone. I thought, oh. And so the cop car went. We missed each other. And they came back. And they said to me, do you realize you were going 137 kilometers an hour? And so I mumbled. No. I had to mumble that. I couldn't sort of like say, I knew. So I had to pretend as if I didn't know. Now, this was a long time ago. Okay, so forgive me. And so imagine if my response, when the guy said, I'm about to fine you, imagine I said to the cop, I said, sorry, officer, I didn't know that I was going over the speed limit. What do you think he would have said? What would the officer have said? That's okay, Mr. McGuenzi. Next time, you get into big trouble. He would have said to me, ignorance of the law is not an excuse. That's not my problem that you don't know the law. You get fined. And I did get fined $300. So you have to know the rules if you're going to follow them. You have to know the commandments of the Lord if you're going to follow them. And so this is what it means to follow God with all our heart, with everything that we have. Our energy and our talents, everything that is at our disposal, we use that to love the Lord our God. Because this scripture that we've just read, both of them tell us that God wants a wholehearted commitment. This year we've said that between C3 Fremantle and C3 Kwinana, we want to see people come into our church. We want to see these chairs filled, not because, yes, it'll be more people, which is good, but because we understand of the impact that God makes in people's lives, lives that are changed. We want to see this year about people moving, God moving in your families, that people that don't know the Lord coming to the Lord. That's what we're believing for. But it's going to require a wholehearted commitment from each and every one of us. We cannot do the same thing and expect different results. We do the same thing, we get the same results. If you aim for nothing, you will hit it all the time. Amen? So we got to aim for something. We want people to come to know the Lord. We want people to be saved. We want people to be set free. This scripture requires a wholehearted commitment. Because when it's talking about you tell people everywhere about what God is doing in your lives, it impacts our relationships. It impacts what goes on at home and in the workplace. The covenant love that we're called to must be a wholehearted, life-encompassing, community-impacting, and an exclusive commitment to God. So every closet of our life, of our lives, needs to be opened for cleaning. That means we're not hiding anymore. The Lord has to come in and clean. And every relationship in our life must be influenced. Because the one thing that is going to change us is that when we live a wholehearted, life-encompassing, community-impacting life with an exclusive commitment to God, it destroys the duplicity in our lives. Where I am one thing on a Sunday, and then in my business, I'm a completely different person where I cheat and I do this, or I'm at work and I steal the work stationery and I do all that kind of, you know, or I'm at home and I may portray myself here to be a very nice person, but then when I get at home, I'm an absolute ogre. This is what happens when we allow God to come into our lives. Duplicity means two. It means two. I am the same person in church that I am at home, that I am in my business. Because that is only when we can make true impact in people's lives. Because otherwise, you know what people will say to us? They will say, you know what? You guys, you are always nice on a Sunday. But when I met you at the supermarket, you didn't even look at me. You ignored me. What's wrong with you? We cannot be duplicitous people, because you know what that does? That messes up our witness. It messes up our witness to people, because they'll be like, whoa, you guys are happy, clappy. You love having guests come to your church. But when we say hi to you in the streets, you keep on walking. That's not the way it should be. We cannot live duplicitous lives. God wants a wholehearted commitment from you and I. If he's going to move through us and we're going to begin to make an impact, it is going to start with our commitment levels to the Lord. Next week, Sunday, the 19th of February, is it? Yeah. The 19th of February is our 19th year anniversary. Very long time, 19 years, to be committed to one person. But and the one thing that all my friends say, and a lot of my family, they always say, I wonder how your wife puts up with you. Yeah, so she deserves a cake. You know, you get a cake next week. But how do you do marriage if you're not fully committed? It is not going to work if there is no commitment. Now, I understand that, you know, in relationships, things happen. You know, and that's okay. Things happen. But when you are in something, whatever it is that you do, it requires commitment. If you are going to save to buy a house, you cannot do it whilst you are having Hungry Jack's every day. I mean, you can, of course, because Hungry Jack's, it's not that expensive. Or you can't be eating out every day and saying, you know what, I'm saving for a house. It requires a whole commitment. You have to be committed to the one thing that you say. And this is why we celebrate people who've been married for a very long time, 40 years. Others have been married 40 years, 50 years. I know my grandparents reached 60 years of marriage. Man, that's a long time. But it requires commitment on both sides. No matter what it is that you endeavor to do, it is going to require commitment. Whether you want to lose weight, you can't do it and then after the gym, you come back and you have a tub of ice cream. That's, you know, like, come on. You have to show some commitment. So everything requires commitment. So all I'm saying is that, you know, when we want the Lord to work in our lives, God is asking us that we have to be fully committed to what he's doing. We cannot be 50% in. You can't go to the beach dressed in a suit. Because you know that if you go to the beach dressed in a suit, what are you not doing? You're not getting in the water. You have to go to the beach with bathers, some shorts, and you, so that you can get fully into the water. God wants us fully committed to him. And so everything about me, my passions, my hungers, my perceptions, my thoughts, are devoted to the Lord. The strength, when it says love the Lord with all your strength, the strength of a person is not simply who they are, but everything they have at their disposal. So everything at my disposal, which means everything that I own, is what I bring with me. That is my strength. If I have, let's just pick a number. If I have 50,000 bucks in my account, that is part of my strength. If I have an army behind me, that is part of my strength that's at my disposal that I can use to my advantage. So when the Lord says my strength, it means everything that is at our disposal, we use that to love the Lord, our talents, our resources. Amen? In this scripture, we recognize that the Lord is echoing the words of Moses, but he adds the part of loving others as yourself. And then to top it off, he declares that all the law and the prophets hung or relied upon these two commands, which is to love the Lord your God, and then also to love others as yourself. Loving God and each other is our highest calling. There isn't any higher calling than that. Loving God and each other is our highest calling. So loving God means stepping out in faith. It means stepping out of my comfort zone. It means stepping out to help someone. Sometimes this is not easy to do in our own strength, but we have the strength working within us, which is the Holy Spirit, that enables us to keep moving forward. And so loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is simply a response. The reason why we do that is because of what God did for us. He loved us first. We love because he first loved us. And because of that, we're just responding to what God has done for it. So what do? We are going to serve. That everybody that comes to our church will serve in some capacity. You can serve on our welcome team. You can serve in the cafe, hospitality. You can serve our audio visual and lighting team. You can serve in media where you do the graphics, worship, which is what Mr. Damien is going to be leading, the Worship Connect. And my encouragement is that, you know what? If you can strum a few strings, just, you know, a tune or something, come and try out for the worship team. If you want to try and, you know, for your children, take that step to say, kids, I know that you've got a bit of a talent. I am going to be committed to driving you so that you have the opportunity to learn to worship. These are lifelong skills that people will learn. When you come and work with our audio, visual, and lighting team, you will learn how all this stuff works in the background. When you come with the media stuff, you learn skills that you can take anyway, graphic design. You learn all that because the team is ready to give some tutorials, webinars that you can watch and help you build some of these skills, especially in our audiovisual and graphic team. You can serve in port care. If you have time, we have our sister here who runs, Janet, who runs port care, the food distribution, fruit and vegetable baskets that we give. You can come in and help on a Friday. Friday? It's on a Friday. You can come in and then we go and we distribute stuff up where we open for a while and people come in. You can just volunteer, whether you can do it every week or you can do it once a month. Just take the opportunity to just come and serve. We have our Port Care community lunch that occurs in Fremantle. You can come there and mingle, build relationships with those people that attend. So if you were to attend a Port Care lunch on a Friday, it runs from about 12 to 2 o'clock, you don't have to come and wash the dishes or put out the tables. We want you to come and to mingle with the people that are attending, the people that are there. That's what we want you to come and do, to just come and mingle and hear the stories. You cannot, once you start getting involved in people's lives and begin to understand what God is doing, the stuff that people go through, it will change your life. It will change your perspective where you will recognize that people are important to the Lord. So we serve. Our response to what God has done for us is that we serve. We also do connect groups. We attend connect groups. Why? Those are important where you build connections, relationship with other people. We heard from Jean and Damien about how they went. She went to a connect group to let them know that, look, this is what I'm battling. And all of a sudden, the other attendees of the connect group said, look, we've been through that as well. That would have encouraged her. This is why the scripture says, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, it says that one is better than two. Because if one falls, the other person is there to pick them up. And then he says, woe to the person that is by themselves. So do not isolate yourselves from where other people are. Because you're going to get nourishment, you're going to get encouragement, and you're going to be built up. But also you can build into other people's lives as well. So we connect where we're eager to study the Word of God. We're eager to pray. We're eager to share Jesus Christ with others. And so I guess what we're asking for this year, it's about the one. If we can just give out the cards. We're asking that God has put us all in certain places of influence. And I'll just get the team to get back up, please, and start strumming, Mr. Damien. Who is the one person in your world that you are going to be reaching out to so that they can encounter the Lord? Who is that one person? All of us have people in our lives that we do life with. As this year is about the one, so you can see the guy there in a crowd of people. One person is important. One person is significant. One lady spoke to a young boy by the name of Billy Graham and told him about the Lord. She had no idea what that introduction to the Lord was going to do for the world. But she did it. And it shifted the course of Christianity. He came and he made a significant impact. So I guess with everybody standing this morning, who is your one person? People are important to the Lord. And the one thing we cannot do is just to palm this off and just think this is a nonsense, this is just whatever. No. We have to keep the main thing, the main thing. The main thing in our lives is about people and about the Lord wanting to touch other people. So who is your one person? The Lord's passion, the reason why Jesus died and went to the cross, was to seek and save those that were lost. So this year we're asking that you take this card. This is just a card. Eh? There's nothing super spiritual about this. This is just a card with about the one at the front and who is your one at the back. But guess what we're going to do? We're going to pray and say, Lord, who is the one person in my world that you want to touch, that you want to reach out to? And you're going to write the name of that person on this card. We know that a lot of you carry lots of cards around. You carry those cards from the coffee houses where they give you, if each time you go, they clip your card. You go 5 times or 10 times, they give you a free coffee. So you got lots of cards in your bags, in your wallets. This is the one where you're going to write somebody's name. And we're going to pray for that person. then you're going to ask God for courage to reach out to that person. And most importantly, you're going to invite that person to church. You might not have all the answers, but understand this, that God has put something on the inside of you. And you have to be courageous to say, Lord, I want you to, who do you want to touch through me? And as you do that, you invite that person to church and allow God to do a work in them, for them to have freedom in their lives like never before. And so this is what we're believing, that we're going to have 54 new people added to our church. Now, we know that that's a number, it's impossible to do in our own strength. But on top of that, we're going to seek the Lord like we've never sought the Lord before. There will be opportunities this year for once every 3 months. There's going to be a Friday night between 9 p.m. and midnight where we're going to come and we're just going to pray and seek the face of the Lord and to hold God's promises against him and speak the word of God back to him to say, Lord, you said the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so we're going to say, send us workers to go to that harvest. And we're going to hold the Lord to account to his word. And you're going to see God do amazing things, not just in your life, but in the life of your family, but also in the life of the people that are around you. Who is the one person that you are going to put their name there and you are going to commit to praying for them? Now, this might be, you might have to be praying for that person for the whole year, but we are all going to make a commitment to put somebody's name down and we're going to pray for them, and you will see the Lord beginning to shift and to move in their lives.